Let's see. I was born in Washington, D.C., and I grew up there. And when I was about 9 years old, I've been like a healthy kid. I used to play soccer all the time. I love sports. And then when I was around nine, I got sick. And I had it was like mono, but it wasn't mono. And I went to my doctor, and the doctor didn't quite know what was going on. And I missed a couple months of school. And after that, my health wasn't quite the same. And then the next year, I got sick again. I had like digestive problems, and I missed another couple months of school. And from that point on, I just wasn't really well. And I'd been really athletic and energetic, and after that point, I was fatigued. I had digestive problems. I couldn't sleep very well. And kind of through middle school and high school, I was just kind of dragging and in poor health and just kind of struggling to get by.
Wow.
So that's kind of, you know, what happened. And, you know, I saw different doctors and got different tests, and no one could really figure out what was going on. And then when I was in college, it started getting even worse and basically spiraling down. So to the point where I was just constantly fatigued. I had difficulty functioning at a basic level. I couldn't sleep. And so I was at school in New Jersey, and I was seeing all the doctors there and all the specialists, and they would refer me to someone else, and they'd refer me to someone else, and no one could figure out what was going on. So I had to actually drop out of school. This was my sophomore year of college. So that's kind of was the precipitation point. And I had no idea what was going on. Was it emotional? Was it physical? All my friends were in school, and, you know, I had to leave, and I kind of had no idea what was going on. I didn't know what was wrong, but I had this sense that there's a place that I needed to go, and if I could find the right place, then somehow it would be like a refuge. So it was kind of like this feeling that I had.
Okay. All right.
And so, pardon?
Yes. Keep going. And you had hope that there was some place that was going to heal you, even though you didn't know what was going on. Did they ever figure it out, Alexis, what it was?
Well, as best as I can tell, you know, it took about 7 years. I can practice more detail, but it took about 7 years. I exhausted all of Western medicine, and then I started trying alternative things and Eastern medicine, acupuncture, indigenous tradition. I ended up living with a shaman in Peru. Basically, anything there was to try, I was to try. And as best as I can tell, what happened is when I was in the womb, there were some complications where some things didn't develop fully that were supposed to develop. And so, like, one thing is I actually was born without a sense of smell.
Okay.
It seems like my nervous system, there were some issues with developing my nervous system, or my nervous system didn't develop fully. And so it seems like there were some kind of genetic issues and developmental issues in the womb, or some things that needed to develop, and as best as I can tell, when I got sick originally was around when puberty was starting. So it seems like some things were supposed to happen, they didn't happen, and my system kind of shut down. And so that's the best I can tell. That's the best I can tell from, you know, later on what we kind of figured out. But when I dropped out of, you know, school, you know, I had no idea. And, I basically tried everything there was to try in the Western medicine, and they couldn't figure anything out. The best they could say was chronic fatigue, which basically means you're really sick and we have no idea why.
That's not very helpful.
Not very helpful. And then, the last thing we tried was they you know, one specialist would refer me to another specialist, and finally I ended up with a guy whose specialty was undiagnosable cases. And, you know, he worked with me and kind of looked at everything, and his recommendation was to take an antipsychotic medication.
Oh,
man. So that was basically, that was their best, that was the best they could do. So,
okay, well, yeah. That's not very good.
I would say it was, yeah, so that had two paths before me. I could take that, or I could try my luck elsewhere. So when I dropped out of school, I heard about something called an ashram, so which is basically like, you know, a spiritual retreat center. So I was like, ah, that's where I should go. So I went there. I went to a yoga ashram in Virginia.
Okay.
And that was kind of like my best, like the closest thing I could find to that feeling I was looking for. And so it was a great place. It was really cool, and it had a very ecumenical, non-sectarian approach. So I got to learn about different spiritual traditions. I was like an atheist, you know, when I got there, and very skeptical. But, you know, being exposed to meditation and different spiritual practices started kind of awakening me. And so I started studying Buddhism and indigenous traditions, indigenous shamanism and plant medicines. And I kind of started on, it started me on a spiritual journey there. And so I basically kept following that thread, and, you know, related to my health, you know, my health and spirituality, and trying to find something that would resolve it.
Right.
And so I started studying Buddhism, Tibetan Buddhism, and specifically in indigenous traditions. And then the next step was I found a plant medicine called ayahuasca.
Okay.
Are you familiar with ayahuasca?
I am. I've never taken it, but I'm aware of it, yeah.
Yeah, so I took ayahuasca, and the ayahuasca showed me a vision of actually a future in which I was healthy.
Okay.
And it was like the first light and hope that I had, because I felt like I'd been sick for so long, I felt like it would never change. And
okay.
So the ayahuasca showed me this vision for a future where I was healthy. And so I started working with the plant, and then I moved down to Peru to live with an indigenous Shipibo Indian shaman, you know, and working with him. So I lived in the jungle with him, taking these plant medicines. But I just got sicker and sicker.
Okay.
And the plants, they're very powerful medicines, but they were basically frying my system. So I got weaker and weaker, and to the point where I could barely walk. And I had to be in full isolation, because if I just would have like a 2-minute conversation with someone, I'd get a migraine for a couple hours.
Wow. Wow.
So like, you know, I was kind of heartbroken, because the plant, I felt like the plant medicine, I finally found my solution. It was going to solve all my problems and heal me, and it's just totally taking me out and making it even worse, to the point where I was basically in my hammock in the jungle, and they would bring me meals, and just basically they'd bring me a meal and leave the meal there, and they couldn't even talk to me, and I'd basically be by myself all day.
Wow. Definitely not going the right direction.
Yeah, I agree. So I was there, and, you know, when I got there, I felt like I found my path, and the plants were going to heal me and open up a world of spirituality and healing, you know, and connection with the divine. But I got to the point where I was pretty close to dying, so I had to leave.
Okay. Yeah, I would say so.
Yes. So I left Peru and moved back to the United States. And it was probably the darkest period for me, because I felt like I'd found my path and I'd found the solution, and it had been, like, taken away from me.
Right.
So I felt, like, hopeless and despair and darkness. And I tried to live with my parents, but I couldn't even live with my parents, because just having them around and, like, having to interact with them, I just had terrible migraines continually. And I had to wear, you know those, like, earmuffs that you wear at, like, a firing range?
Mm-hmm.
I had to wear them pretty much all the time just because the stimulation from, like, just having to talk to my parents, or if I went outside, like, just the noise of the like, insects would give me a migraine.
Wow.
So I couldn't even function. So I moved to – my parents had a small cabin in rural Virginia, so I had to move there. And I lived basically by myself in isolation with my dog and cat. And I lived there for a year where I basically couldn't see anyone. So I'd be by myself for weeks at a time. And I couldn't use electronics because if I looked at a cell phone, I'd get a migraine. If I picked up a phone, I'd get a migraine. If I used a computer, I'd get a migraine. So I was – it was like the darkest kind of dark night of the soul. My one chance for healing and redemption has been taken. I can't function. All my friends are graduating from college and getting jobs and dating. And I'm in a cabin by myself, and I can't digest anything or walk or do anything.
Wow.
So that's basically, you know, what's going on. And then I'm working with a I had found out about a healer in Ann Arbor, named Mary Walters, who's an incredible, incredible healer.
Okay.
And she actually, through my high school English teacher, had been friends with someone who had – this woman had helped. So I started working with her remotely. So I started working with her remotely. Like, I talked to her every 2 weeks, and she'd send me, like, a package of homeopathics or flower essences. And it's kind of like my lifeline. And it was helping, but it wasn't really – it wasn't resolving it. I was still sick, and it wasn't really fundamentally changing anything. So my mother, being a good Jewish mother with a lot of chutzpah, called her and said, my son is ill and he's not getting better. Can he live with you?
Okay.
And, you know, this is the power of the Jewish mother. And so so Mary Walters, who has 8 children and a full practice and a business, took me into her home.
Wow.
And brought me into her home and cared for me. She made me bone broth and gave me remedies. And she basically, when I got there, I couldn't really digest solid food.
Mm-hmm.
I was mostly just subsisting on juice and broth. And she nursed me to some, like, basic functionality and took care of me. And she was just incredible.
That's amazing.
Yeah, I really owe my life to her. And so that was when it started to change. So that's, she's in Ann Arbor, so that's how I came to Ann Arbor.
Okay.
And so then she, you know, I've been studying Tibetan Buddhism for 5 years or so at this point.
Mm-hmm.
And so she said, oh, you know, there's this Tai Chi master you should meet.
Mm-hmm.
So she referred me to Master Kim. So that's how I met Master Kim.
Okay.
So I met Master Kim and started taking his classes. And when I started taking his classes, you know, I could, you know, it's like a Tai Chi class, right? But I get there and I can't even stand. So I'm sitting, and he comes over to me and he says, oh, you need to sit up straight. And I say, I can't. And he looks at my energy and he says, oh, no, you're right, you can't. So he gave me basically a practice I could do while I was, like, slumped over.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I would do. And then over time doing that, then actually I could sit up straight.
Okay.
And then over time I got to the point where I could actually start standing for a little bit, and then I had to sit.
Mm-hmm.
And he just worked with me where I was. And, you know, what I found is you know, I work with, like, a lot of people, and I find with healers that they would start working with me, and at the beginning they'd be, like, excited, and then when things would get difficult, then I feel like they would kind of start judging me, and I didn't feel like they would actually stick with me.
Okay.
And, you know, with Master Kim, he actually listened to me, and he listened to where I was, and he just showed me the most incredible unconditional love.
And amazing.
I, like, you know, I was still, my nervous system was so sensitive, but I'm a super social guy. He would invite me out to dinner with his family and send me energy the entire time just so I could actually be in a restaurant and be around people. And that was just so I could get, you know, so I could do that. And I remember this one time we were in an Asian market, and he, we were walking, and I realized I couldn't walk anymore. So I had to sit, and I felt horrible. I felt embarrassed. And I said, I'm really sorry, I have to sit. And he just sat down next to me, and we're in this, like, big Asian market, and we're sitting in the aisle, and he just sat next to me and sat there until I could get up. And that's just the way he was. And
that's total love and compassion.
Yeah. I just, like, and just, like, continuing. He'd work on me for hours, and he would just, like, you know, I would give up, and he would never give up.
Mm-hmm.
And working with him over time, he started building my systems. So, you know, these things that never developed, he started building them. And it was so working with him and the practices, and then working with someone he works very closely with, Dr. Andrew Miller.
Mm-hmm.
Working with them over the next couple of years, it actually ended up restoring my health. And so, you know, it's like incredible. And so that's kind of how that came to be. And I, you know, I was a Jewish Buddhist, and I never had any intention when I came to Ann Arbor, you know, to find a teacher here who was a Taoist Christian. But that's what ended up happening.
Sure.
The universe works in mysterious ways.
Indeed it does.
Yes. So I just, you know, just being with Master Kim and just seeing that all the things I've been looking for, and all, you know, I'd read the biographies of all the great masters, and, you know, the Tibetan Buddhists and the shamans and the yogis, and to actually meet him and actually see that's actually who he was, and that's what he lived. And so I, you know, just getting to see that and experience that, I, you know, I over time took him on as my teacher. And so I've had the great blessing to be working with him and studying with him for the last 7 years.
That's awesome.
Now, like, I'm healthy and happy, and I have an incredible life, and I'm married, and, you know, I get to live my dreams. So it's been going from the darkest, most horrible place to just an incredible life, and I just feel really blessed, you know, that I've been given these opportunities, and that I met these incredible people who gave me this path.
Indeed, you are blessed. So you had a vision, or you had an idea that there was a place for you somewhere. You didn't know where it was, and the journey took you to Peru, and it took you to Virginia. It led you to Mary Walters, who led you to Master Kim, and now you're integrated into the Sunshine Dojo. But as I understand it, from, you know, after you healed, you know, you decided you're going to work with the dojo, and it feels like there's an element of giving back to me. What's going on now?
That's a great question. Well, I'm really blessed. You know, when I started working with Master Kim, you know, I was really sick, and all I cared about was restoring my health. And he started, like, integrating me into the organization here. And, you know, I realize now the genius of it, that he actually got me excited and got me to actually do things that I was, you know, meant to do, and things that excited me. And that actually was one of the main things that allowed me to restore my health, having
actually an outlet for my passions. And mm-hmm. so I've gotten to work with him. And then, at some point, as I got healthy enough, then it became a full-time position. So I have, like, the greatest job in the world. I get to work here and get to work in an incredible work environment and, you know, help people and do something that's meaningful and, you know, give people access to tools that can help their lives like it did mine. I'm really fortunate I get to help with the administration here and work with people. And it's pretty great work environment where you get drive-by Tai Chi corrections from a Tai Chi master when he's going to the bathroom. So, you know, it's a pretty great deal.
Yeah. Well, it feels great because, you know, you're helping, but it feels to me like you also get other people access to these great resources because, you know, you've experienced firsthand the power of what Master Kim is able to do and getting other people access to those same kinds of resources and opportunities is phenomenal. Do you do scheduling for Master Kim or how do you blend in there?
That's a great question. I kind of do the administration on the school. So basically, you know, we have a Tai Chi school here and different classes in the system that Master Kim teaches. So I kind of do school administration and then scheduling, you know, for Master Kim's practice and kind of assisting him. And then I get to teach Tai Chi here and then help with some of the classes that Master Kim is teaching. So it's, you know, it's kind of a lot of different irons in the fire, but kind of, you know, helping out here and doing some of the administration so Master Kim can kind of focus more on the people.
That's outstanding. And with the, you know, with the capabilities that he has and all of the talent and the beautiful things he has to offer to not have to worry about the day-to-day stuff, I mean, it's just a blessing for him, I'm sure.
Yes. Well, I hope so. I do my best.
I know you'll be humble in this discussion, but you know I know firsthand how much you do over there, and I appreciate it. So thank you.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that.
You're welcome. It's an amazing journey you've been on so far, Alexis. Thank you for sharing it. Is there any other part of that journey you want to share with us as we kind of wrap up this interview?
Well, you know, I feel really blessed, and you know, I guess for me. I feel grateful and I see, you know, that how, you know, when I was in the darkest place, it felt hopeless and it mm-hmm. felt like my life was being wasted because mm-hmm. all my friends were, you know, getting PhDs or, you know, working in business and things like that. And I felt like I wasn't doing anything. But I think what's been really incredible is seeing how God or the universe uses everything and how, you know, this, my journey has been the fuel for me, you know, to do the things that I wanted to do that I'm passionate and also to help people because, you know, I found that it's really helped me be empathetic to people in their difficulties and also to be able to, you know, I find when people are going through really tough times, the fact that I've been there too, it helps because not that it's like I can like fix them or anything like that, but just, you know, just actually that they can recognize that I understand
mm-hmm.
and that I understand and that I've been there, that I find that actually, it really means a lot to people. And also just to see that a case where actually, you know, someone's been in a position like that and that's actually turned out okay.
Yeah,
and so pardon me?
You offer the gift of hope and inspiration.
Yeah.
It's a beautiful thing.
Yeah, absolutely. And so I feel really blessed, and now I realize that, you know, that all those things I went through, there was a reason for it. And it was very hard for me to see the time because it felt meaningless, but now I just mm-hmm. feel grateful because I realized it couldn't have gone any better. And, mm-hmm. you know, it's like crazy, but you know, that time that was so horrible, I realized it was a huge gift, and I now I feel really grateful for it.